And it's time to talk sport with Warwick Hadfield now. Warwick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Fran.
Warwick, in cricket, the players are ready to take a pay cut as Cricket Australia suffers an unexpected loss of revenue. What's going on?
Yeah, Fran. Well, Fran, this story bubbled up over the weekend after Cricket Australia announced huge job and pay cuts on Friday, which no one really saw coming. And it seems the organisation, which had been thought to have banked most of its revenues because summer was over before the virus came, had gambled and lost on the stock market. Not Robinson, Glasgow, Crusoe there. And look, it apparently dangerously low on cash. Now, full details of the financial situation are yet to be made public. No one loves a secret more than Cricket Australia. But the players who fought furiously a couple of years ago to have their incomes tied to that of Cricket Australia, bitter that was, they've already read the PR runes and indicated their willingness to take a pay cut in line with that agreement and in line with a lot of the staff that they work closely with, who are also down to about 20% or gone off on leave without pay and so on. Now, as well as the losses on the stock market, and that amount is in dispute according to whom your source might be within Jollymont Street, cricket operates on a cycle built around popular revenue-rich tours like those of England, of course the Ashes, and India now, very much a popular revenue stream. So you'd have to think that this tour of India, which is scheduled for this summer, will be very much high on the agenda of Cricket Australia getting that to go ahead. There's also the small matter of a T20 World Cup for the men in October. So you'd have to think that cricket will be joining this long queue of sports urging politicians to lift restrictions, Fran.
Yeah, sure. In rugby league, meanwhile, the Premier of Queensland is now ready to meet with officials about the game's return in 2020.
Yeah, a small opening of the door. The Queensland Premier has previously pretty much ruled out competition this year, but she's been the subject of relentless criticism from the New South Wales State of Origin coach Brad Fittler. Now, he basically accused her of running up the white flag and conceding the series 3-0 to New South Wales. And of course, that's always something bound to raise the ire of any Queenslander, particularly a rugby league supporter like Anastasia Palaszczuk. She has described Fittler's various comments as ridiculous, given the real issues with which she is dealing. However, she has now indicated she'll meet with Australian Rugby League Commission officials to see if there is a way for the NRL and other matches to take place this year. And that might include, now this is going to be an interesting development if it happens, allowing Queensland-based teams to cross the border to play in New South Wales and then return home without the need for a 14-day quarantine period. And all this is, of course, as the game continues to push hard for a return of the NRL on May the 28th, Fran.
Okay, more sports news coming up after 7:30. When you're going to explain to me why motor racing is doing virtual racing, because I just really don't get why that's any different than two blokes staying home playing computer games. Warwick, I said it before, but in motor racing, even in a virtual world, it's easy to get mad when a bingle costs you the race. I'm absolutely perplexed by the fact that they think we will be interested in motor racing in a digital framework. Well, can you explain this to me?
Well, I can. I mean, it's still a highly competitive thing. And a lot of people, I mean, there was an e-games convention on the Gold Coast. I think it was last year when hundreds of thousands of people.
Sure, but no one says it's a sport.
Well, I mean, look, these guys, Scott McLaughlin, Will Power and all these other people, they're just filling in time and they can get back out onto the track. And look, they were doing this over the weekend. It's called iRacing. It's a game to which anyone can sign up, but obviously these chaps have signed up at the elite level. And they were racing around a simulated track in Japan, the Twin Ring MotoG, which was apparently not been used in racing before, but not for a while. And everyone thought, it's a good idea to do it in a simulated way. Anyway, they were well placed to win this race, sitting in their lounge rooms or wherever they were. In fact, Scott McLaughlin had his fire suit on, and they were, I think, first and second. And they came round a bend, and there was a car they should have lapped. But instead, Power crashed into McLaughlin, and his car did a little bit of a spin. And this is all simulated, of course, and was out of the race. Power contested to the end, but didn't win, and he fired off an angry text to the driver of the lapped car. And poor old Power, McLaughlin, he said that he had to walk around the room and convince himself it was only a computer game, but he's taking his laptop off to the repairers this week, Fran.
Silly, 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 though. I do love he was in his fire suit. I think it's very important to get dressed for work when you're working from home. Yeah. In basketball, Susie Batkovic has become the latest sportsperson to make a leap into politics.
Yeah, look, life has taken a considerably different direction for this much-loved three-time Olympic medalist and WNBL ring winner. She retired. She's become the mother of twins. And over the weekend, she was sworn in as a new councillor on the Townsville City Council, something she said was as nerve-wracking for her as playing at the Olympics. I think she'll discover politics can be more than nerve-wracking. She joins a long list of Olympic champions who thought they might give politics a try. Rick Charlesworth, of course, did it while he was still competing for Australia at hockey. Nova Peris, Zali Steggall is the latest, Fran.
Yeah, indeed. Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield.